turn over to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven like as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. There were a lot of things that happened on the day of Pentecost, all of which, everything that happened on this day, is something that should be happening today. Amen. I am not suggesting that we should see fire, nor am I suggesting we should hear wind. Not of the natural, but of the Spirit. You and I should have a wind of the Spirit touch us. You and I should have a fire of God that touches us, that births something in us and that causes us to want to do ministry. It causes us to want to reach people. And you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you'll be witnesses. There has to be something that occurs on the inside of us that's wind and fire. They understood what it meant when they were in this room because they were of the Jewish people. They were believers when they went in there. But everything was a sign, precursor to this. It was an indicator. So they knew what was going on when they saw it. I want to talk to you about five verbs related to this. There are five verbs that we can see that are related to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the first verb is found in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Turn over there. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, whose latchets of his shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, the first word we see here, the first verb that we see is the word baptized. Now, this word actually means something a little bit more than the word baptized. It means to be plunged. I mean, to be plunged. In my ministry times, there have been times when I'll be honest with you, I have plunged people. Has anybody seen my ministry? Sometimes those little kids, you know, you pick them up and you really get them good. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a lot of fun being in the baptism. Everybody should be in a baptismal tank once because it's actually a whole lot of fun. You know, you get to dunk folks and all that. Although the word there means plunged. And so there's an indication that, you know, in different churches, I know that they have different ways of doing it. And you have to be careful because I remember one time when I was a younger man, my mom and dad were in the ministry and they went to one of these baptismals in the creek. Have y'all ever been to a baptismal in the creek? We found out very quickly, make sure that if you're in a creek, that you baptize the people with their legs going downstream. Two reasons. One, if it's going up, if they're going the wrong direction, the water goes up their nose and they about drown. And then if you lose them, you've got to go catch them. This has occurred. And so you learn to baptize people with their feet going downstream. Amen. Because it's very easy to get up then and they can kind of save their own life, but it's very dangerous when you see them flipping down the river. It's very bad. Not good at all. But you know that this idea of plunged is one of the ideas of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus plunges us, that we are plunged into this thing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the greatest thing that happened to the believer that could have ever happened. It took the death, burial, and resurrection for you and I to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost refers to the 50 days after Jesus' crucifixion. In other words, there was a feast that happened, and it was based around the law. And there was this feast, the law was given, and so on and so forth. So they would have a feast. It was called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost. And then it was 49 days, 7 weeks. That was 49 days plus one day. This is what it means by Pentecost. And so Jesus, the Holy Spirit's poured out in representation on the same feast at the same time to show us that the Spirit of God is the new law. Pretty amazing. Another one of those things you'd have to study out to understand what I'm talking about. But the type here is so beyond understanding. How God could manage to bring the Holy Spirit on the very day, and people get filled with the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues on the very day that they celebrated the law. That the new law was going to be written in our heart. That you and I were going to have the Holy Spirit inside. We were going to be able to follow the law because now it lives in us. That's why people that talk about the law has been done away with. No, it's been put in you. You now have the living law. It lives in you. You have the ability to fulfill the plan of God. You have the ability to live what you could not live before. You have the power that they did not have. You have the power. Anybody says, I just can't do it, then they're not receiving the fullness of God's gift to them. They haven't received the Holy Spirit. Because when you really have the Holy Spirit and you actively pursue Him, you'll be plunged. There's a plunging. There's a depth. When you're completely immersed in the Holy Spirit, you are saturated. God wants to saturate us with the Holy Spirit. This word baptized means to saturate. It means to be taken from one environment and placed in another. So when he says that he wants to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire, he wants to transmit us and transport us from one environment into another. Plunged. We understand what it means to be naturally baptized, that someone does that. Well, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And just like the baptism in water indicated by the plunging of somebody underwater, they leave one life and come up into another, suppose. That's what it's supposed to represent. You and I are plunged from one environment into another. God brings us into a new environment. Jesus is the baptizer. We're comforted by that because, you know, there is that moment. I've done baptismals, and everybody that gets in the tub always looks at me like, you are going to bring me up, aren't you? How many have been baptized and you had that thought? Be honest. You're thinking, okay, I'm going to do this. Okay. You just want to know, well, we can be comforted by the fact we know Jesus is going to bring us up. Amen. We're not going to be harmed. He's not going to burn us up when we get baptized in the Holy Ghost. No, he's a comforter, and he's going to do it. He's a helper. But Jesus is not only our Savior. He's not only our Redeemer, and he is our baptizer. He baptizes us. Let's look at a second verb that's listed. Turn over to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. This is reiterated in the second chapter of Acts when they come out and they begin to tell people, just like the prophet Joel spoke. And this is where he was coming from when he spoke that. And this is the second verb I want you to get. So we have plunged or baptized. The second one is listed here. It says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now you may not realize this, old men or old. They don't dream dreams. They don't look into the future. Amen. Because their lives are somewhat used up. When God says this, it was an indication of a topsy-turvy type idea. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Well, that wasn't the way it normally would be. Young men don't see visions. Not the way that it expresses it here, but he's trying to say that when the Holy Spirit comes, not only will your old men dream dreams and your young men see visions, but upon your handmaidens. Now remember, in first century Judaism, this is a really far-fetched idea. Women were not free to do whatever they wanted to do. The idea of a woman becoming hearing dream of these visions and having prophecies was unheard of. So he's saying the unusual Holy Spirit is coming. And he says he's going to pour it out. And then verse 29, and also upon your servants, upon your handmaidens, in those days will I pour out of my spirit. The second verb listed here is the verb pour. What it really means is outpour or outpouring. The downpour or the deluge or the rain, the outpouring, the soaking rain, the pouring that God is going to not only deluge us, but he's going to soak us like a soaking rain. You know, I go out in my backyard, and there's a couple things that you have to think about because growth and vitality is supposed to be listed here. You're supposed to see this as the outpouring, the rain of the Spirit that comes, and that vitality comes, that growth begins again, and things happen. Like Isaiah 32, listen to Isaiah 32, 13 through 15. Upon the land of my people shall come the thorns and the briars, yea, upon all the house of the joy of joyous cities, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the cities shall be left. And forth and towers shall be the dens forever of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. Then the wilderness shall be fruitful as a field, and the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. In other words, it shows how the lushness, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, a lushness comes, growth begins, life and vitality, veracity comes. You know, my backyard, I have a pond, and this pouring is part of that. It says also the rivers and the lakes will be filled up. The dry will be refreshed, and those that feel dry. You know, if you go out in my pond now, the sun has beat down, the pond has shrunk, and it's 3 or 4 feet to beyond. You know, it's not full. The rivers, the waters aren't flowing into it. But when it's full, and the people, you know, you're like that. Your lives are like that. You have the Spirit of God in you, but it's drying up sometimes, and you feel empty, and you feel dry, and you don't feel lush, and you feel like you're a waste place. But the pouring of the Holy Spirit will refresh you and fill you back up. Somebody say, he'll fill me back up. So here's a verb. Verdancy is included here. That all of the herbs and forests will grow. And God wants to grow these in your life when you're dry and empty. And so here's the word. He says he'll pour out like a deluge of rain. Interestingly enough, when you think about that kind of rain coming, it reminds you of when Moses went to the 70 elders. You may not know the story, but the power of God came and the 70 elders were gathered around him and prophecy fell in the midst of the camp. Do y'all remember the prophecy? And all of a sudden, these people began to prophesy all over the camp, these 70 elders. Well, interestingly enough, there were two guys who got too close. And all of a sudden, they began to prophesy. The same idea is listed here, that the rain of the Spirit will be such that have you ever filled a glass from a distance? If I filled it where the glass is at, it can go in the glass. But if I filled it from up here, I might could fill the glass eventually, but it's going to splash out, get all over everything. That's the idea here. See, some of y'all thought you could wander in here with a friend. You just came thought, I'm here with a friend today. And interestingly enough, you hang around, it's going to splash out. If we have enough of the Holy Ghost in this place and the presence of God, the word will splash out, the anointing will splash out, and just like in that glass, the Holy Spirit's going to splash out of our lives. Our lives ought to be poured into by the Spirit of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's a variation to this word found in Acts chapter 1:8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. In other words, there's a variation to the idea of pouring, because we see it as a very deluging pour, but there is also a more less violent pour. That Jesus is a comforter, and that he comes to pour. It reminded us there was a story of Gideon. When Gideon was touched by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God came on Gideon. And the Bible tells us the Spirit of God came on him. See, that's what happens when he pours on us. He comes on us. And it's like Gideon. But in Gideon's case, the Bible actually doesn't say that God came on him. It says this. The original Greek and Hebrew says this. That the Holy Spirit came on himself in Gideon. The Holy Spirit came on himself in Gideon. In other words, what was within him was also poured upon him, and that there was a saturation of God upon Gideon's life. Somebody understand what I'm trying to say? So God wants to saturate you with his Holy Spirit. Let me give you another verb. Verb number 3. And that's the verb filled. The verb filled. Jesus is our comforter, and he comes upon us and like a pour, and he also is like a plunge, but he's also filled. And there are 3 types of filling. But let's start with this. Filled. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they began to speak, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. This is the initial filling. Every believer that has been saved and received Christ has a point where they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not an external filling. It is an internal filling. The difference is that it's internal. It's what's within you fills you. There's a filling of God. And so he says this here, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What was empty inside became full. Something filled them. The Holy Spirit filled them. What did it fill? It filled their spirit. The spirit of them became filled. They're full. And God wants to fill us with the Spirit. Being inwardly filled, he fills you. Something is happening on the inside. And it's like a sponge. If you think of a sponge, if I had a jug of water and a sponge, and I put that sponge in the water, is the sponge in the water or is the water in the sponge? The answer is yes. Yes. Yes, the sponge is in the water. And the water is in the sponge. God wants to fill us just like that sponge. He's in us and he's upon us. He wants to fill us full, full of him. The empty will be filled. It's a refreshing. The disciples were under persecution. You have to understand, when they came out of the upper room, everything was great. But in chapter 4, everything changes. They're now under persecution. Things are going bad. They're being attacked, being jailed, being whipped. I mean, so they came out, everything was great. And so here they are in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. We see filled again. And when they had prayed, the place where they were was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the word of God came on them with boldness. What does this mean? Was this an initial filling? No, they were initially filled. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And yet in Acts chapter 4, they're now needing another filling. That's exactly right. God uses filling to refresh us. He refreshes us, refurves us, and brings fervency to us. He fills us for the thing we need. There are times when I see they needed his help there. They needed him to come alongside them. They needed power for this moment. You might need power for college. You might need power for your job. A new thing has come. A challenge has come upon your life. God wants to fill you for the challenge. And that's what happened here. This word that's used here is a word to fill you for the moment, fill you for the event, fill you for the need at the moment. And so they were needed. They were in need, and God filled them at the need. So there's an initial filling, and there's a filling for the need. There's also another filling. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, 18. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what this actually says in the Greek and the Hebrew is this. It says that a life you live, you live life in a way that you are continually filled. You live life in a way that you are continually filled. Let me say it again. It's saying, and be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but live life in a way that you will be continually filled. So we know that being baptized with the Holy Spirit is a deluge, it's a pour, it's a rain, but it's also a filling. It's a necessary filling for believers. God wants you and I to be filled with His Spirit. No one in this room should be exempt. You shouldn't. It's not like you should desire not to want it. I mean, Jesus gave it. If today I had $20 in my hand and said, gave you a question and you ran up here and answered that question and took the $20, it would require you coming and getting the $20. You understand what I'm trying to say? And so you're to be filled. You and I are to be filled with the Spirit. You and I are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is His desire for you and I to be filled. He gave it so we could be filled. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? And so in that Greek word, it means being filled, continually being filled. You and I are to live lives where we are continuously filled. So it means initially being filled with the Holy Spirit. It means that we are to be empowered for new moments from time to time. We need fresh oil. Every tractor, no matter how good it is, no matter how wonderful it is, needs to put oil in it every once in a while. And then I want to be filled. I want to be filled. Being filled. Being filled. But there's a fourth verb found in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Turn over here. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now, every word I've given you up to now is Him. It's about what He does. He'll fill you. He will pour on you. He will rain on you. He will anoint you. He will refresh you. He will initially fill you. He'll fill you continuously. All those words. But now we have a word that's not about Him, about us. This word is our part. The other words are His part. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Isn't that interesting? That's right. Believers have a choice to receive. Have you received since you believed? Have you received Him since you believed? All the other words are outside me except this one, and it's inside me. It's about me. This is my own verb. It's first person, you. You must accept and you must receive the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16 that we read at the beginning of this. John answered and said unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Here's the thing. God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants you full of the Holy Spirit. We're not trying and wrangling with God. Some people think that they're having to fight with God to get the Holy Spirit. That they have to go through some shenanigans or some wranglings or some kind of thing to get the Holy Spirit. That God's holding it and we have to go pursue it to get it. No, God is giving it and we have to receive it. If today UPS drove up to your house and the package was in the UPS truck, the guy got out of the truck and said, I have this beautiful package. It was sent. The shipping's paid for. You have a gift that's been given to you. And you said, no, no. I'm sorry, I'm not ready for that. I don't want to receive that. I'm not interested in that. How many of you think that would not be very wise? Well, it certainly would not be very wise. God has already given the gift. Why would we refuse what's already showed up at the door? Why would we refuse that? Every believer, and so I know there's lots of confusion about this, and I want to dry this up. I want to dry up the confusion that goes with this. Every believer needs to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You need to have the initial filling. What is that? You'll see that there'll be an evidence of that. Then you need to be filled to the fullest. And then you need to be filled again for whatever's needed. And you need to live a life of continual filling. Somebody say amen. I assure you that as much as you want God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, God wants to fill you more. God wants to fill you with this power and with this anointing to give you the strength you need. Somebody said, well, I'm already living life without it, but you're living it at less than where you ought to be. It's the difference between having a half a tank of gas and a full tank. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It is the breath of God. The Holy Spirit's almost like God giving you and I mouth to mouth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is taking old air out and bringing new air, the breath of God in. Just as God breathed on Adam in the Garden of Eden and brought him to life, God wants to breathe into the believer new life. Somebody say amen. I hope you're getting something out of this. It's God's way of filling us to the full.